Well, God bless you in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Let's take our Bibles and go to Romans chapter 3. This morning, we're continuing our study on the spiritual laws and factors we should be aware of to enjoy the more abundant life. There are, I am sure, many more spiritual laws and factors, but I'm breaking these down so that we can start to process them into our lives that we might enjoy more the more abundant life, or as I like to put it, to redirect ourselves to a more fuller life and a more fruitful life. We began last week looking at this, and I broke it down to free will, the law of believing, and authority are the three that I want to focus on for this particular teaching series. Today, we're going to go into the law of believing. Last week, we did free will, which is the ability or discretion to choose, to accept or to reject. And it's a key element to the love life of a believing one. I've taught this before under the title of Three Factors for a Powerful Life. That's on our website under the teaching tab, if you'd like to go there and look at it and compare it, or not compare it, but utilize these teachings, because I'm looking at it and focusing from a slightly different direction, but it'll help you to put it together. Romans 10:17, excuse me, teaches us or says, "So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God," or believing comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so if you put these together, see, I'm not doing a complete study on the law of believing or free will or any of the other topics, but what I'd like to do is introduce the topic to you and allow you the free will, the choice, to make it your own. We have other teachings, of course, on our website that are companion to this, and you can read those and work them. Or you can take out your concordance and look up the word believing and see how it's, not only how it's used, but the different effects. Not just so that you have a definition of believing, because whatever definition we can come up with, it's broader than that. Because life is broader than that. We could say, live life. Well, that's a great term, but it's a lot broader than we can sit down and explain. So what I want you to do is, wherever your life is, to live it more fuller, or to live it fuller, how's that? Or more fruitful, the more abundant life. So that's what we're looking for. The one I want to speak on today is the law of believing. And I am sure, like I said before, that there are more factors and spiritual laws that we can look at. But gaining an understanding of this trio, free will, the law of believing, and our authority in Christ, will open up for you sections of Scripture that will give you a greater scope of the things that were going on from a spiritual perspective, and give you a greater dynamic in the practical power of living. The law of believing, simply stated, is what you believe you will receive, or why you receive and get the results that you get. I want to emphasize, and I'd like to emphasize, simply stated, because that's not the end all. And I think that you listen to these things and you don't allow your heart and mind to grow in the Word and see that it's a bigger perspective. The reason that we use that term, that simply stated, what you believe you will receive, was really set in the context of, or taught in the relationship, to show that there are two sides of believing, faith and fear, or believing and fear. There is a positive side to believing and a negative side to believing, and you will receive what you believe or what you fail to believe. The Greek word most translated to believe or to have faith is the Greek word pistis, transliterated into our English letters P-I-S-T-I-S. And it means to trust in or have confidence in, to find reliable, worthy of your trust. The opposite, like with a lot of Greek words, you just add an A at the beginning. You add the Greek letter alpha at the beginning. It would be apistos, A-P-I-S-T-I-S, or apistis, or pistos. To be unreliable, untrustworthy, not to be confident in. And this, of course, tends to place you on shaky grounds because you don't have something that is absolutely steadfast to rely on. And it tends to make you fearful or afraid. In relationship to the Word of God, it is to cause inaction or to fade from the assurances God gives, to shrink away from the promises of God, and not to believe. The dissatisfaction with the results that people have received, even our brethren, has caused some of our brethren to deny that the law of believing even exists or works. But it's based on using the results as the standard. It's used as the results to be the standard as to whether they deny the existence because of their personal experience. And because of their personal experience, they deem the scriptures to be untrustworthy because it's the scriptures that tell us about the law of believing, rather than finding out what they have experienced was unreliable and that they need to change back to something that is worthy of their trust, that is worthy of their confidence, that is reliable. Let's go in Romans chapter 3. I want to set this for you. And in verse 27, it tells us, where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. As I said, the word word pistos can be translated faith, and it can be translated believing. There's a separation there. Here it's stated by the law of faith, pistos. The word law means a recognized standard for justice. The spiritual standard for justice is this law of believing, not our experiences. Faith and believing are the same word, pistis. If you put a ribbon here in Romans chapter 3, because I do want to come back and read this section with you a little bit. But I want to go to Galatians chapter 3. So we'll move there to set what I'm talking about. Because this believing works or is applicable to every man, saint and sinner alike, we use the term, Jew or Gentile, believer and unbeliever, if you please. The word faith is in reference to a spiritual quality that came through Jesus Christ, and God blesses us with it in the receiving of the new birth, his gift of Holy Spirit. In Galatians chapter 3 and in verse 23, it says, but before faith came. So there had to have been a time when there was no faith. Faith was not available. Beautiful. Before faith came, this spiritual quality to believe God, this spiritual quality to believe God specifically, believing works for saint and sinner alike, believing works for Jew or Gentile, believing works for the believer or the unbeliever, as I've shared. It helps us to find his will completely reliable and trustworthy. You believe it to the nth degree. That's what faith is, a spiritual quality to believe God and believe his words, find it completely reliable and trustworthy all the way to the nth degree. And it comes with the new birth and operates in the manifestation of his gift of Holy Spirit. But it says, but before faith came. So what was there before faith came? Well, it is believing. And it tells us when faith came, we were kept under the law, shut off or cut off unto the faith which should be afterwards, which should afterwards be revealed. So when was faith first revealed? Well, it has to be after the law. See it? Before faith came, we were kept under the law. So that means, did they have faith in the Old Testament? No, because in the Old Testament, they were under the law, whether it was the Mosaic law or under the laws that they understood from the patriarchs. But it was until faith came, which would be afterwards. Was faith available during the gospel period? No. But could they believe? Yes, absolutely. So it tells us, wherefore, verse 24, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ that we might be justified by faith. The words to bring us, of course, is in italics. Those words are not in the Greek text, particularly the Stephen's Greek from which our King James was translated from. And the word unto is until. So, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster until Christ. It explains to us when faith actually came, that we might be justified by faith because of what Jesus Christ accomplished for us. See it? But believing had always been available, and it is still available today. However, we also have the wonderful blessing of faith, the ability to believe, the spiritual ability to believe God to the nth degree that came with the new birth. That's what I'm sharing with you. But before that, we were kept under the law. Faith wasn't available until Jesus Christ came. So every time we read faith pertaining to the Old Testament or the gospel period, it really should be translated believing, and you'll see that. And as you do your readings, as you study in the Bible, keep that in mind, so that when you come to the word faith, because they translated it sometimes faith even in the Old Testament, and sometimes faith even in the Gospels, you should note that and remind yourself it was not available until after the day of Pentecost, when God's gift of Holy Spirit became available. But did the spiritual law of believing continue after Pentecost? Yes, absolutely. And it is still available for everyone by their free will to choose whether they will accept or reject, whether they will believe or not believe. So that's still available today. And then we have to separate whether in the New Testament, whether we're talking about the faith, that spiritual quality, or that wonderful law of believing. But it is still in existence today. And this law is so magnificent. Let's go back to Romans chapter 3. Just pull on your ribbon, get us back there. The law of believing works for everyone, and faith is for the born-again ones. Believing is for everyone. God placed salvation on something so simple that everyone does, and that is the law of believing. Whether they utilize the law to believe and receive, or they reject the promise of God and have fear and don't receive it, or have unbelief, it's still the same law. Everyone and anyone can confess with their mouths Jesus as Lord and believe in their heart God raised him from the dead. Can people get born again today? And the requirement is to confess with your mouth. Can anyone confess it? Sure. Absolutely. Even an unbeliever can make confessions, and he can or she can confess Jesus as their Lord. Can they believe in their heart God raised them from the dead? Absolutely. Anybody can. But the the born-again believer who has accepted Christ and received the gift of Holy Spirit also now has that spiritual quality, faith, which they enables them to believe God to the nth degree. Beautiful. In addition to that. Well, let's go back. We're here in Romans 3, verse 27. Then in verse 28, it says, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith. Can't be faith, because faith was not available until then. And he's talking about that which is available to all men and women, including the new birth, but have not accepted it yet. Without the deeds of the law, is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also the God of the Gentiles? Sure. And can the Jews operate the law of believing? Can the Gentiles operate the law of believing? Yes, absolutely. There it is. Beautiful. It says, yes, of the Gentiles also, seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith or believing and the uncircumcision through faith, but it has to be translated believing, because do unbelievers or does the uncircumcised have faith? No, because they haven't confessed Jesus as Lord. Once they do, then they're no longer the uncircumcised. They are now part of the body of Christ, born again ones. Do we then make void the law through faith or believing? God forbid. We establish the what? Law. And I wanted to set for you that it really is a law. It really is. It works for saint and sinner alike, Jew or Gentile. Everyone is subject to the law of believing. And it's just really sets for me how gracious is our God. Because if God knows this law exists, wouldn't he lead you to the place that your heart believes? That's, you know, I see the testimony and the witness he has in the scriptures of our Lord Jesus Christ. And as people shared that with me, my heart just yearned to believe on that wonderful name. I confessed him as my Lord, and I believed in my heart God raised him from the dead. And God just directed my steps, every step of the way. Sometimes we look at situations in life and we say, oh, geez, I don't know if I can believe for that. Yes, you can. You can believe for anything. You can exercise that great law because it works for anybody. And are you an anybody? Yeah, that's right, and you are somebody because you believe God. And what God will do is he will direct your steps and lead your heart to the place that believes. I'm over here, and right now I want to get over there. But I don't, you know, my believing is not sufficient. Don't you think God is loving enough to help direct my steps if I'm willing to learn and to follow all the way to the place where I want to be? He's that loving. He's that kind. Let's go to Romans chapter 4. And we'll pick up this record again in verse 17 in regard to Abraham. And it says in verse 7, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Who against hope, that which is contrary to human expectations, who against hope believed in hope, this is, or believed upon the hope, which, and this is speaking of Abraham, that he might become the father of many nations. Abraham is standing over here, and he has the promise of God that he is going to be the father of many nations, but he needs to be over here in order to do it. Do you think God, step by step, led him to where he needed to go? As a matter of fact, God sent some angels to tell him that his wife Sarah was going to have a child. God encouraged him. And, you know, at first, Abraham didn't believe that. And then he took Sarah's handmaid so he could have a child. And that's the best that they could go, best that they could think at the time. But God didn't stop. He just kept step by step directing his way to where his heart should be so that he could receive the promise that he would be the father of many nations. Isn't that beautiful? Boy, what wonderful God. You know, it's not always believe this right now or it's over with. You know, God is willing to work with us. He'll help us step by step to get us to the place where we would like to be, where he has called us to. So beautiful. Who against hope believed in hope that he might be the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith or believing, being not weak, he wasn't weak, he considered his own body now dead or beyond time to reproduce. When he was about 100 years old, so it took a long walk to get there, but you know what? He just kept going. He just never gave up. And God just kept directing his steps. Well, you're not quite there yet. Not okay, keep going. Here it is. You're just one step away from your heart really believing this. And Abraham took that step, and bam, at 100 years old. Golly. He staggered not at the promise of God through what? Apistis, or apostia as they would be the general word for it, but beautiful. But was strong in faith, or pistis, giving glory to God and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he, God being, was able also to perform, and therefore it was imputed unto him, to Abraham, for righteousness. Now it was not written for Abraham's sake alone, his sake alone, but that it was imputed to him, it was just given to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we do what? Believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Isn't that something? See, we can grow. We can develop. And this section is all before faith came. So what can we do now that we have the faith of Jesus Christ? We need to be honest and acknowledge that there is unbelief. And I'd like for you to go to Matthew chapter 13. Because to understand the law of believing, we need to acknowledge that there is such a thing as unbelief. In Matthew chapter 13, and this is speaking about Jesus coming to Nazareth, in verse 54 it says, "And when he was come," did I tell you Matthew 13? Okay, we're at verse 54. "And when he," Jesus, "was come into his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished and said, whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brethren, James and Joseph and Simon and Judas, and his sisters? Are they not all with us? Whence then hath this man all these things?" It says that he went into their synagogue and he what? Taught them. So did they get to hear the scriptures? Yes. Did they have the choice to believe those scriptures? Did they have the free will? Yes, but some of them decided to reject it. Something. And then they decided their experience. I've been around his family. I saw his sisters, his brothers, and all of this. And I can't deny there's miracle work, you know, works of miraculous works. But, something. Verse 56, it says, "And his sisters, and they were not, are they not all with us? Whence then hath this man all these things? And they were offended in him. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, save in his own house," in his own country, and in his own house. "And he did not many mighty works there, because he was incapable." No, because of their what? Unbelief. There is such a thing as unbelief. There is two sides to the law of believing. There is positive and negative. There is believing and there is unbelief, particularly in relationship to the scriptures, in the works of men and women of God. There is belief and there is unbelief. "And he did not do many mighty works there because of" what? Not just unbelief. Their unbelief. Look at Matthew chapter 11. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 11. And I'm taking some time on this because I want you to really see some of these things. In Matthew chapter 11, in verse 20, it says, "Then began he," Jesus, "to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not." Repent means to turn around and make a change. To give up where you were going and move into a new direction. And the new direction for them was in this part of mighty works. I know today people talk about the age of miracles no longer is available, or we don't see these mighty works in our churches anymore. Well, it tells you why they didn't. Because of their unbelief. They repented not. They didn't make a change. They didn't change in the direction that they were going. They were not allowing God to direct their steps to get them to the place. Here, the mighty works were over here, and they're standing here. And instead of turning around and going toward those mighty works so that they can see them evidenced in their lives and in the lives of the people that they touched, they decided to walk the opposite way, continue in the direction they were going, away from the mighty works. See, we got to stop making excuses for unbelief. I remember we used to sit around and talk about the unbelief of the community, the community of unbelief. You know, I've heard people say, well, we're no longer seeing these mighty signs, miracles, and wonders in the United States because the sins of America are so great. Good gravy. What about the sins of the other countries? And why don't you include yourself? My sins. But we make all these excuses as to why we're not seeing these mighty works and why it's not happening in our church, why it's not happening among our people. We blame the community of unbelief. Hey, if I was living in a community I didn't like, I'd move. I'd start a new community. Faith cometh by believing. Faith cometh by hearing, rather, and hearing by the word of God. And if people are rejecting the word that they're hearing, then I don't have to. You don't have to be a part of that quote-unquote community of unbelief. Stop making excuses for unbelief. Talk of unbelief. It doesn't help. Let's talk about how we're going to believe God, how we're going to trust God, how we are going to repent and change our ways. If we were talking about the negativity, if we were talking about reasons we don't see the miracle, why are you blaming it on God? Why don't you blame it on yourself? I've been walking in the wrong direction. I need to turn around and head back where those mighty works are. See? Unbelief keeps us from the mighty works. Move away from them. Verse 21, woe unto thee, Chorazin, woe unto thee, Bethsaida, for if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have what? Repent, they would have changed long ago in sackcloth and ashes. Well, how about us who received the gift of Holy Spirit, the evidence of God in Christ within you? How about those mighty works? The new birth, how about those mighty works? See? Verse 23, and thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell or to the grave. For if the mighty works which had been done in thee have been done in Sodom, it would have remained how long? So is it available to see the mighty works today? Then somebody must be lying when they're telling us that the days of miracles are over with. Because he said even Sodom would see it today. And Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if he said that, then those mighty works still have to be available today. The question is, are we going to repent? Are we going to change the direction we're going and turn ourselves and move in another direction? See? Let's go to Romans chapter 12. I know sometimes it's hard to hear some of these things, and I'm not trying to beat you down in your where you've had unbelief. Everybody's had unbelief in areas and things, but if you allow yourself to stay there, if you start making excuses for your unbelief, you're not going to develop yourself. You are to redirect yourself to a fuller life, a more fruitful life. And here in Romans chapter 12, it says, I beseech you, verse 1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world. Who? You. You don't allow yourself to be conform to this world, but be ye transformed. How? because God is going to transform you. Because transformation is not event. No, it says, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's in your power. It's under the category of your free will. If you are not transformed, then where does it lie at? At myself. If I'm not transformed, it tells me I need to transform. It's not like God hasn't supplied me that which I need to transform myself. It's not that God hasn't done anything for me. He's already done. Now I need to pick it up and go to work. If you owned a construction company and you supplied all of the drills, the hammers, the nails, the wood, the everything that you need, and your guys did not pick up that stuff and go to work, do you think you would ever get a building built? We need to transform ourselves. Everything is there for us to see and evidence and live in those mighty works. If I'm not seeing them today, it's because I haven't picked up the shovel. I haven't grabbed the hammer. I haven't decided I'm going to go to work. And those who don't will not see those mighty works, because remember, in Nazareth, there were not many mighty works done there, but there were mighty works done. Who got to see them? Those who decided to believe, those who repented, those who decided, I'm walking in the wrong daggum direction. I need to turn myself around and get back to those mighty works. I need to transform myself. I need to do it. I think sometimes we think that all I need to do is just keep reading the Bible, keep reading the Bible. That is helpful. But unless you are taking what's in this Bible and now putting it into your life, making the changes, living like someone who's been transformed. Someone says such and, oh, that's the old me. He's gone. He's dead and buried. We're talking about the new me. You know, oh, you used to be. Good. I don't want to be anymore. I'm glad I used to be. I'm a good used to be. I am not offended by that. Unless you're going to tell me I used to be a great believer and now I'm not. But do you see, it's up to us. You have free will. God is not going to force you. It's not going to happen by osmosis. You need to do it. You need to be transformed. Our teachers cannot transform us. Our ministers cannot transform us. They can provide the materials, they can provide the tools, but if I don't go to work, it's never going to get built. I need to be transformed. See, it's all in my free will. I have the option to change. I have the discretion to choose, and I choose to be transformed, that I might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God, that I might enjoy those mighty works. And if the rest of my community doesn't want to follow me, well, I can move to another community, but I don't have to live in unbelief. As I often state in regard to 1 John 4:16, we have known and believed the love God hath to us. When we know it and believe it, we will live like men and women who are loved by God. When we transform ourselves, we'll live like men and women who are transformed. Then I know I have believed this scripture. Because you live like you believe, why not believe truth and live truth? Why not choose to live like this? We have found his words worthy of trust, reliable to have confidence in. Why not live like men and women who are transforming themselves, who have repented, have decided to make a change and turn themselves around, to those who have transformed themselves, to those who know and believe the love God hath to them, and live like men and women who are loved by God. You see, if we are aware of these spiritual laws and factors, we truly can redirect ourselves to a fuller, more fruitful, more abundant life. God bless you.